Great to have, hello. Great to have your worship today. We are singing louder and louder. We say it, but I didn't hear that louder. If I had more time, I would ask the worship leader to make all of us shout louder. I think we are a bit too soft. But of course, many of you don't have a loud voice. But if you practice, you'll have a loud voice. So I told Jeff, I said, in order to practice from now on, everyone must sing in quartets, especially the men. The old men must sing because the scripture says old men will dream dreams. So you must sing your dreams. This morning I didn't hear the dreams. So next week I wonder whether you could compensate. I know you. Some of you may think I'm dancing like a monkey in front, but hey, it's all about participating in worshiping the Lord. Let's worship Him. Father, we just praise You because You are so majestic in all the earth. Lord, what are we? Lord, what is man that You should be mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that You should care for him? You have made us a little lower than the angels. And have crowned us with glory and honor. Lord, You have made us to have dominion over the works of Your hands. Well, Lord, we thank You that this dominion is given to us. And so as we exercise it, we want to praise You. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. And as we hear Your word, we worship You because You are alive. You are not like the gods of wood and stone that has mouth that cannot speak, that have eyes that cannot hear. You have ears or have ears that, Lord, are deaf, but You, Lord, hear everything we say. You even know the thoughts that go through our thought minds. Lord, You know some of us here have come with hearts that are heavy. I speak the joy of the Lord to be Your strength. You know, Lord, that some of the young people here have come with their own struggles, trying to understand the things of God with the competing noise of the world outside. Lord, will You just begin to show Yourself mighty on their behalf? And for the children here, Lord, starting out new, needing our help, I pray for them to grow up in the love of the Lord. And there are many mothers here who are tired because they have to take care of the young children. Loss of sleep. Holy Spirit, re-energize them. There are some here who is short of finances. I speak abundance. And as we hear more about You, the God who gives abundantly, may Holy Spirit, may faith be generated in each of our hearts. Lord, it's only Your word, but Your word is quick and powerful. So we ask, Holy Spirit, You'll use it to speak to us this morning, each one in our individual situations. You, Lord, are the God who gives dreams. I pray for the older ones here, they'll dream dreams. And according to Your word, the young men will see visions. They will not just see what's just in front of their noses. They'll see visions. They'll have wisdom beyond their age. Some young people here are making decisions regarding marriage. Where to stay, which church to go, what to do. They're inexperienced. But Lord, You are the one who always leads. I speak assurance. An ability to see Your guidance so that we can all wholly follow You. Enable us, Lord, because sometimes we get distracted by small things. Help us to focus on those things that truly count for eternity. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Good, thanks. Today I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we can take hold of God's promises and how to see the goodness of the Lord. you know, the Lord is good, but sometimes we just don't see it. We see a lot of problems. We don't see the goodness of the Lord. So we are going to deal with primarily chapter 21, and I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to give you some background and the timing, and then I will try to expound what is the message for us today. First of all, chapter 21 begins with an attack. Verse 21, the king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard wrongly, but he heard that Israel was coming on the road to Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow. Underline the word vow. Made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver these people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. The wonderful thing is verse 3. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel. Hi, underline the word listen. Wow, if only God listened to every one of us. Wow. You wonder whether God listens, but he says yes. The Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of the place was called Hormah, the place of victory for them. Now, actually the story starts from chapter 20. They had just begun the journey. I'm going to speak on three phases. In all of life's journey, there are three phases. There's a starting phase, there's a journey phase, and there's the destiny phase. It's very important to know what's your destiny. And give a bit of a background to what the stories you have read. Try and read every time before you come. Then you understand. Now I'm going to give you this story and tell you where they are. So we always begin with where, when, what. Okay, so where is this? Look at this map of Israel. And you will see here, the Dead Sea is a marker. All right. And you will see that this place that we are talking about is a place that is in the Negev. You see this word here? It's focus. It's called Arad. It's beside the Dead Sea. And here you see they are not far from Arad, and so they are at a place called Kadesh, which is to the south. All right, now, look at this map. The distances are not so much, and here they were around this area, so they are about to move, and then from Arad, the king of Arad, he was a Canaanite. This is called the Negev. The Negev is a semi-desert, good for keeping cattle, but not good for planting anything significant. And so it is here that he controls. So the children of Israel were under a place called Kadesh. Can you see this word Kadesh? All right. This Kadesh is here. Can you see this word called Mount Hor? That's where this event is going to be taking place. And now, they are supposed to come to this side of the Dead Sea. What is the plan? God had a dream. Do you know God have dreams? You think only human beings got dreams. God has dreams too. God's dream was to give them this whole plot of land, stretching from the way from the south, way up to the north. But I want to highlight one more thing that you're going to read in this passage. There are two roads. One is called the King's Highway. The King's Highway is here, coming from Iraq. And this is another route called the Wilderness. And so, because this map is limited, I'm enlarge it for you. And so now this is my map, not so impressive, but that will give you some idea of the distance. So they were here. So now, in chapter 20, God said that this land is then for Edom. Edom is another word for Esau, descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. So they want to cross straight shortcut, but they said, no way. So they had to go all the way south. This road is called Way to the Red Sea. This is the Red Sea, that's why I draw this map in red. This branch is also called the Red Sea. So they have to go all the way to the south, skirt Edom, go all the way to the north, and then the important thing is, where are they heading for? The important thing you need to know are three rivers that will help you to understand where places are. In this map, you see the Dead Sea. All right. This is called the Dead Sea. The reference point is always the Dead Sea. So in the south is Edom. There's one river called the Zered River. Three rivers that will help you understand where you are. In the middle of the Dead Sea is another river called the Arnon. You read a lot about this river in the Old Testament. Then, up north, there's another river that's called the Jabbok. You read about things happen in these three rivers. So can you see three different colors? All these nations, Edom, Moab, all divided by the rivers. Then you have got this, the Amorites, okay? And then the north, you see up all the way to Mount Hermon, which is way beyond this map, is under Bashan. So if you want to remember, the short form is called Cap. The fighting, the victory over three nations, the Canaanites on this side, they didn't fight the Edomites because God said they are your brothers, don't fight your brothers. There's a Moabites country. Then there is the next one. They didn't fight the Moabites. They are also relatives and descendants of Lot. So they are to take on this country called the land of the Amorites. Sihon is the name of that king. So between this river, Arnon, and this river, Jabbok, is the territory they were going to take, and God will give it to them freely. And this beyond is called Bashan, or the Bashanites. Today it's still called Bashan. So on east of these countries are Ammonites. God say, they are your relatives, don't touch. Moabites, don't touch. But because Moabite made a big mess, God had to deal with them. So roughly you know where you're talking about. This going south in the desert, then turning up north on the... They keep on asking, they want to go by the King's Highway. And I told you, that's the route they keep talking about. The King's Highway. But nobody allowed them to use this route. So they have to go by another route. This route increases by 250 kilometers of walking in hot desert land. So you can see, doesn't God understand how they feel? Here in Numbers, God didn't say so. But later on, God reveals that God said, I understand. I understand how you feel. Walking through another 250 kilometers of desert land just to skirt the land of Edom. I understand how you feel. Here, the difference between Numbers and the next book called Deuteronomy is in Numbers, God gives a human perspective, how you would see things from the human angle. But Deuteronomy, God gives you another perspective, how God is watching. God said, I care for you. All the route, yes, you walk extra. You took this route, yes, I know, it's harder for you. But I want you to know that I was with you and you have lacked nothing. You didn't lack energy. So this story begins with they were in the south and they are making their way out. And Kadesh, they are making their way out, making the journey, but before they could, the enemy struck and caught some of them prisoners. You see, sometimes you cannot look at situations in life, whether it is good or bad. There are sometimes temporary setbacks. In life, there will always be temporary setbacks. Can be setbacks in your health. Can be setback in your finances. Can be setback in your family relationships. Kids are not listening. And so, there'll be setbacks. Setbacks do not determine your destiny. So the first thing that happened was they were attacked. Now, if you go back to the past, God made a promise. God said that if you worship me, I will do several things for you. How many? Seven things. I do seven things for you. The first thing I'll do for you, Exodus 23:25-27. God said, I'll bless you. Be for bless. I will take care of your food and water. They are always complaining about food and water. Every people thinks about their food and water. Our supply lines must not be cut off. We don't want to go hungry. So, food and water. God said, fruitfulness. Nobody wants to be fruitless. Another F. So that you will not waste your life doing things that are worthless. But the next set, God says, I'll protect you from the enemy. So it is a given that you'll face attack from different sources. But God said, I'll protect you. And I'll give you inheritance, I. And I'll set the boundaries for you so that boundaries. And then the best, L, lifespan. You know, sometimes when we are not well, we are wondering whether we will die young. But if you are a worshipper of the Lord, according to this verse, God says you will have a full lifespan. You will not die a premature death. So these are promises. But God says, provided you serve me and you worship me, that's why you understand why I emphasize so much about our worship. We are not wasting time. When we are true worshippers, God said these seven blessings will follow you. And as they went through this desert on this long journey, God said, you lack nothing. But I understand it was a long journey you have taken. But I want you to know that I care for you. That's what he says. So this is the journey, the start of the journey. What you get in the start of the journey, can you follow your notes a little bit so you know where I am? The important thing was, is God with you? God is with us. Oh, let me try to. All right. The key word that in your paragraph is, God is with us or not? Is God listening to us or not? Because it determines our destiny. You know, it determines our destiny. And last week, 2 weeks back, I talked about two aspects, even for Christians. Sometimes you see a lot of God's goodness upon your life, but there are others who see nothing good. Everything in my life is miserable. Why? And I told you that there are five things that you need to remember. It's all about your attitude. Your attitude determines your altitude of your walk with God. And I mentioned that if you're humble, you see God's goodness. If you're always, this is very important, attitude, self-submission. If you're always submitted to God's will, you will always see goodness upon your life no matter what happens. There'll be twists and turns. There'll be bad things, but it will be stopped. Bad things do not determine your destiny. Your destiny will be good because of your submission. The opposite is what? Defiance. Blaming God for this, for that. Why I got so many problems? Everybody has problems. Wait till you get to heaven, then you don't have any. But in every problem, if we come with a defiant attitude, talking bad-mouthing words to God, then you'll find that you will not see God's goodness. You'll see severity. You always see God, why? Why are you so strict? Why are you so difficult to work with? That's a perception. Thirdly, if you are repentant, you see all this working out in the stories that we're going to come. And then against those who are indifferent, because they were repentant, God was always listening to them. Did they make mistakes? Yes. On their face too, they made a lot of mistakes, but they were repentant. They were quick to say, yes, Lord, we have sinned against you and we want to change. As long as you are repentant based on God's word, you will return to the highway of blessing. So you see clearly, if there's an attitude of reverence, you'll find you see God's goodness. So when we are having worship here, you notice me sometimes jumping on stage. And I wanted to say that I wish more people would jump. If I've got the authority, I say, well, team, I'd like you to join me when... we can't do that in village because the platform is so small, it might collapse. But hey, we wasted so much space today. Oh, I would like people like Tim and some of the younger ones to join me. But that's doing worship in reverence, respecting God instead of contempt. And you need to, you will always receive forgiveness. When you come with this kind of heart, you always receive forgiveness, and when you are forgiven, healing takes place. Remember that young man who was raised, delivered from the top of the roof into the presence of Jesus? What's the first thing that Jesus do? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. As long as your sins are not forgiven, it's very hard to receive the healing. I just every week visit one of my cell members. He has just been transferred out of the ICU, out of hospital into rehab. But 3 months ago, he was sure he was about to die. And he said, Pastor, when I call off, can you please arrange for my funeral? I believe this brother is listening to our broadcast this morning. And I told him, hey, you must give testimony. I help you start today, but later on you must give. And today he's in rehab. He's recovering. So you will always see the goodness of the Lord upon your sickness. I don't care what sickness. You will recover if there's a forgiveness. And sin separates us from God and from our blessings. So this is a base you need to remember as we go into the rest of the stories. So they were attacked, surprised, and some were taken prisoners because they probably was not expecting a sudden attack by this Canaanite whose land God is about to take away to give to the Israelites. So they had victory because of two things. One, they made a vow to the Lord. Now, his vows are very important. Vows you make is to express your commitment to something. Long before I got married, I told the Lord, whoever you're choosing for me, I vow I'll take care of her all my life. I don't know about you. What kind of, I made this vow before I got married. Okay. And vows are very important. They are just statements of commitment. And these guys made a commitment to the Lord. As a young Christian, I make certain vows to the Lord. You know, God honors vows and help you to fulfill it. I was in my 30s. I said, Lord, I would like to build a church in Bedok. If you help me supply the money, I will build a church, and I make a vow to the Lord that I will launch new churches, that it's only a beginning. So I don't know what kind of vows you ever make to the Lord, but there are sometimes God put dreams in your heart and you make a vow, and God will honor it because it's along His will. So they made a vow. But the thing is, the Lord heard. Listen. You see, when you are walking in submission to God, God listens to you. And when God listens to you, ask. Because when God listens, He will get it done for you. The old generation tried to tell God, and God didn't listen to them. And God said, because you did not listen to me, what makes you think I have to listen to you? And God said, I'm not listening to you. But here it's different. In this new generation, God said, He listened. He listened to their plea. They said, Lord, please, can you give us victory over these people? They have caught our people. They have, our soldiers are prisoners. Help us, and we'll wipe them out. And the Canaanites were a nation that worshipped idols that offended God. And in a short three verses, God said, God delivered them up to deliver up the Canaanites. Underline the word delivered up. Delivered up means God will deliver whatever He promised. Deliver up is something that God will do when He fights for us. Hey, when you pray and you walk with God and you listen to God, God will listen to you. Then God gets things done for you where you cannot do. There are many things we cannot do. All right, that's first phase. How did they succeed? The victory came because they were... Okay, I'm now talking about para one. So I'm now summing up this part. The key word here is victory. God gives them the first days of victory. They have never fought this kind of a battle before. The first battle, and they won. And God gave them victory because the word is God delivered up to them. God delivers. I know a lot of companies like DHL and all that have copied it. They say they deliver, deliver. But hey, only God can deliver what he promises. So the key word for this whole morning is victory. Victory belongs to those who walks with God, who vows to do God's will, who I listed just now, these five things. Humble, submissive, repentant, reverence. And he receives forgiveness. So, victory always comes from God. God is delighted to give victory to his people. Because I have a word here, God has vested interest in giving us victory. Do you realize that? Why is there a vested interest? Because when God's people have victory, then it glorifies his name. If God's people don't have victory and all the time they are suffering defeat, then people will say, hey, your God can't even help you. How will he help me? So God wants to give us victory in our battles. So here, the first shot, God gave it to them. God listened to them because they kept a vow. They made a vow. They made their commitment to God. And therefore, they were submitted to God's will. Can you see? So that's phase one at the very beginning. Now, I want to go quickly into phase two because there's a message here I want to focus on. So my notes I give you is 1B, they made a vow, they listened. Oh, sorry. They made a vow to the Lord, they listened to their plea. So this word, have you underlined it? That's good. Maybe I made this comment. God reversed the defeat at Homer. So in your notes, I've explained that Homer was a place of victory for these people, the new generation. But it was a place of defeat for the old generation. Same place, but a different time. Different. What is the difference? One did not submit to God, and because now they submitted to God, there's a place of defeat for the old, but it's a place of victory for the new. Okay. So you got this in your notes. You can underline this. And I explain why the old generation was defeated at Homer before. Because they treated God with contempt. Can you see? I give you in the first section about contempt. They treated God with contempt. No victory. If you treat God with contempt or indifference, then there is no victory. It's reflected by your worship when you come together. And I said that this defeat came always at a moment in time. All right. So that's what's happened in phase one, a summary. Now, number two, you see that God's stalled progress to victory only because he need to impose discipline. Okay, this principle I want you to know. The victory had to be delayed because they had to learn discipline. Now, I'd like you to keep your Bible open. I won't be showing you my Bible, but please, you can open yours. Chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor. Have you got your Bibles, please? Can you read it, look at it while I read to you? I want you to get back to the Word of God. So when they journeyed from Mount Hor, which is the start point, by the way of the Red Sea, remember I showed you there's a road that's called the way or the highway to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people began very discouraged on the way. Very discouraged. NIV says impatient. There's two similar ideas. Discouraged on the way. Because I told you it was another 250 kilometers of detour. A long journey. God said, I understand how you feel about this long journey. But the people responded because of discouragement, because of impatience. Read verse 5. And the people what? Spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food, no water. Our soul, Lord, the worthless bread. Now let me pause here. This is the third time they ask a question. Why? Why did you bring us here? You know, this is, underline that question, why? Because this is the most common question everybody asks, Christian or non-Christian. When something goes wrong, when they are tired, they always ask why. My question to you is, do you know why you are here today? You must be always very clear why. This is the third why the same group is asking. They've forgotten the why, the purpose. Especially when we gather together here, Sunday after Sunday. Do you know why you're here? It's very important to know why. First of all, you need to be here because God has called you to belong. The word ecclesia, church, ecclesia means call out once. God have called you. You may not realize it, but every one of you without exception, God called you to belong to this church. God called me too into this church. This church is not my church. It's Jesus' church. He called me into this church. This is a body that is specific to this group, that is the body of Jesus. God called you, and you have responded. But why are you here? Because God said that keeping the Sabbath by worshiping Him is a sign between you and me, God says, that we have a relationship. So if you are here, just remember you have a relationship with God. That's why you are here. God says you need to observe this day, worship together as a convocation. That's an old word which means as an assembly. Not everybody in his own home, but as an assembly, you have to be here. You are here because God said you need to be here. I'm here also because I need to be here. It's not like this young man, you know, he Sunday morning came, he's supposed to go to church. The mother asked, wake up, wake up. He said, no, I'm very tired, I want to sleep. Give me 5 reasons why I need to wake up. The mother said, if you don't wake up, you're going to be late for church. That's one reason. Any more reason? Oh, if you don't wake up, you will be disobeying God. It's the keeping of the Sabbath. Any more reason? Yes, the most critical reason, you must wake up now because you are the pastor. Now, the Sabbath is, why are we here? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25 says, you should be here because of a habit. Some of you are here by habit, right? But it's a good habit. So Hebrews 10:25 says, and do not stop meeting together as some people are in the habit, bad habit, of not coming to observe the Sabbath, the gathering together. You are here by habit, yes, but it's a good habit. Hebrews 10:25 says, it's a habit you must keep. And you'll always be able to be present because you have got good health. So you have to be here because it's a habit. God says, keep this habit. Don't follow those who have got the bad habit of stopping the meeting together. So there are many reasons why we are here. So this why is something you and I must always be very clear. What's the purpose? Why have you brought us into this place? There's no food, no water. God already said, you're in transit. God says, the dream I have for you is this big piece of land called the land of Canaan. I'm giving you FOC. I've been waiting 450 years to give it to you. Now you come and ask why. You are on transit. You want to occupy your, take hold of inheritance. You must go to where the inheritance is. You don't expect your inheritance to come to you. You go get it. So they forgot, what's the purpose of this journey? So when problems crop up, everybody has the habit, why? You are in transit. Why are you here? Well, the purpose is that God said, I'm going to give you this inheritance free of charge. Cities that you have not built, farms that you have not planted, wealth that you did not work for, I'm giving to you free of charge. And now you ask me, why have you brought us into this miserable place? But I admit it's a miserable place. I spent some time in the desert myself, and 3 days was all I could take. Yeah, it's true. You need to drink a lot, otherwise you get dehydrated. And then you got to be careful what you eat because sand is always getting into your food. And then the night is so cold. And the day is so hot. Yeah, God provides a cover. But 20 years, 40 years of it, God said, I understand. I understand you're walking through the great wilderness. But you need to understand that you're going to your inheritance. So what inheritance do we have? Well, God says that you have a great inheritance in eternity. There'll be great rewards. There'll be great honor. But here in this life, God says, I also have got a very good plan for you. God has a plan. And I ask, do you know that God has dreams for you? You know what rocks dream? Rocks. You know what the dreams of rocks? The answer is nothing. But God has got dreams. People have got dreams. And I challenge the older ones. The prophecy in Joel 2:28 says, and the old man shall dream dreams. Hey, never stop dreaming. I like those few songs sung in the secular world. I haven't found any in the hymnals on dreams, but I like some of those secular songs. Part of it is quite good, you know. You know that famous Abba song that sing, I have a dream and I will sing. But somehow, if you are an elderly, old Christian, do you have a dream? Joseph had dreams. He dreamt God's dreams. The world sing a lot about dreaming of their destiny. I like that well-known singer Susan Boyle who sang, I dreamt a dream. I like songs like, it was sung at the Korean Olympics by that well-known singer, Afro-American singer. She sang about her dream. And then she said that famous phrase, in a moment in time. And she spoke about your destiny. You know, dreams are about destinies. Everything that God gives sometimes is based on a moment in time. And here, in this moment in time, they missed it. That's why they asked why. They forgot that long ago in Exodus 23, God had said, if you worship me and walk with me, I will bless you. I'm going to give this land to you because I promised your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that I'll give you this land. In fact, stretching from the river Nile to the great river called the Euphrates. Actually, I've allocated all this land for you. Permanently. But now you ask, why? Why are we here? We are here because God has a dream for you. Many great preachers, Martin Luther King, based your talk on, I have a dream. Do you have a dream, God's dream? I'm speaking to the older ones. Hey, the Bible says old men will have dreams. So one of the dreams I had, I shared with Jeff this morning. One of my dreams is that the older ones here, we've got good baritone voice, got good bass. Hey, can you sing something to the Lord one of these days? And I said, Jeff, can you look up for 4 elderly men here to render a song of praise to the Lord one of these days? How about young people? Joel 2:28 says, the young man shall dream. It will not dream dreams, but have vision. That means they are able to see ahead what they're going to do. And sometimes young children talk like that. They said, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be something significant. Young people do that. Can you encourage our young people to dream dreams, God's dreams? And so they ask this question. Why? Because they've forgotten the purpose. Have you forgotten the purpose why God has called you to be a member of His body? God did not call people to do small things. He always had big things in mind. So, as a 17-year-old kid, first time I walked into church, I didn't feel it was strange. In this old building, built in, I think, 1936. It's a very old building at Katong. And as I walked in, I felt, I belong here. And I attended all the services. Morning, breaking of bread. 4 o'clock, I would attend Sunday school, but I'm very fond of fishing. I always go to Tanah Merah here to fish, but I make sure I go to Sunday school by 4 o'clock. Of course, all sweaty, but I still went to Sunday school and 100% attendance. Then 6 o'clock, I stay back for the evening service. And then by the time I got back home, I was ready to sleep. And then when I was in the army, I also wanted to be in church, you know. And I would make sure I listened to all the sermons because I said, wow, they are so inspiring. One speaker from missionary to Kansu province, just one short talk he gave. From that day, I prayed, God, I want to see something happen in Kansu province. Then one day, I met one of our Shanghai church members. She said she was from Kansu province. So I shared with her how the preach track, and I said, hey, can you share this gospel with somebody? And this last trip, I heard she's not well. So, young men, young ladies, if you are below 50 or below 60, you should see visions. Ask God for visions. See beyond yourself. See beyond the nitty-gritties of food and water. So they are concerned about food and water. God says, 40 years I was with you, you have lacked nothing. And you will lack nothing. That's God's promised to you. So why? We need to know our purpose. We are here designed to do something bigger than ourselves. That's a very popular song. It's not a Christian song. It's about being greater than what you are. That's the vision that God wants to make each one of us. What the bigger than what we really are, because we partnership with Him. And if you have partnered with God to serve Him, there's good reason why He will restore your health. Right, so they stall because they did not understand. You see, this period when they forget their purpose, God had to discipline them. So the word here is a discipline. The word is discipline. Now, Hebrews is very good at explaining about discipline. The Bible says in Hebrews that this discipline is good for us. It is because of the goodness of the Lord that God will discipline us. Sometimes with some sickness, sometimes with some setbacks, sometimes, disappointments. You didn't get what you wanted. It's something that makes you stop and pause. And Hebrews 12 says that because of this discipline, it is God's love for you so that He will reap a harvest in your life. There is a harvest that comes out of the discipline. What is the harvest according to Hebrews 12? The harvest of, first of all, righteousness. You begin to live a life of righteousness that is in line with God's plan, things which pleases God. You will have a harvest of righteous living. Righteous people always have favor with God. And that's why the Word of God says, seek first God's righteousness and God's kingdom. Seek His righteousness. And all these things, no matter what you need, whether it be housing or food or work or whatever, will be added to you. It will be an additional topping up for you. But if you seek first His righteousness. So discipline is a very important part that we need to develop a habit of just accepting the discipline that God may impose. And it sometimes will mean waiting. Like in this case, they were getting a bit impatient. Because there are a few more stations to go. You read words like Punon, Obot, Mahalalel. I didn't want to read all these words to you. It sounds like Greek to you, right? No, it's not Greek, it's Hebrew. So many more stations to go. Sometimes you just got to be patient. Be patient. The journey is not ended yet. So there's setbacks. They wanted a shortcut. And I give you Hebrews 12. I like this verse from Hebrews 10:36. He says, for you have need of patience or perseverance, that after you have done the will of God, you will get what? Yes, what He has promised. You receive. After you have done the will of God, relax. You get the fruit of His promise. So don't throw away your confidence, no matter what situation you are in. So this is the station number 2. So they have complained. We all know what he did. They were complaining about food, about water, basic needs. God said, I will always supply you. But after they have learned this lesson, you know what happened? Their eyes were opened. They saw the goodness of the Lord. The next stage, when they move up further, up north, you see, some of these words may not make so sense to you, but let me just get, can you just follow me in your word? Verse 12, and then moved and came in the valley of Zered. Zered is at the tip of the Dead Sea. I just showed you on the map just now. Tip of the Dead Sea. They entering into the promised land, and there they moved and camped in the other side of Arnon. That means the northern side of the river Arnon, because south of it is Moab. And the moment they crossed over to Arnon, it was in Sihon's territory, the Amorites. The moment they crossed, the Amorites attacked, and so they won. They, in fact, asked permission to the Amorites, please, can we travel along the king's highway that cuts in through your country? They said, no, no. And they attacked immediately, and they lost. Immediately, they occupied the land. So they began, because of this discipline they have learned, they learned God gave them the first victory in the territory of the Amorites. They took over. They began to possess. You see, God has got gifts for all of us, inheritance for all of us, but we have to learn how to possess. The problem is, you cannot expect God to possess for you. Possession must be done by you out of faith. And they did possess. So they crossed the Zarat, and they went north of Moab, and they traveled north, they took over. But you, can you see the difference? They came to a place, verse 16, they came to a place called Be'er, means a place of wells. And what did they do? They never asked God for water this time. This time, they worshipped the Lord. Verse 17, they sang a song about God's provision. Spring up, O well. It doesn't sound very nice here in English, but in Hebrew, of course, the rhyme scheme is there. We don't know Hebrew, so let's read the English one. Spring up, O well, all of you, sing to it. Sounds very much like a worship leader this morning, telling you to sing. The well, they all sang. The well, the leaders sang, dug by the nation nobles, by the lawgiver and their staffs. They were singing in thanksgiving. So they didn't even ask. God provided. See, when you are submissive to the Lord, when your attitude changes, you begin to see God's provision even before you ask. After this, there was no problem about water anymore. Then, verse 21, then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites. And of course, the king said, no. They said, let's go through king's highway. We'll go by the king's highway until we have passed. They said, no. And they lost their country. Verse 24 says, from the Arnon to the Jabbok, huge territory. All right, now, following that, you see, they sang a song of praise to the Lord. Might be a bit confusing to you because it's in English, but let me sum up this worship song. What they were declaring is that the Amorites in the ancient past occupied this land between Arnon and the Jabbok. Fertile land. Because they were so strong, they could deal with the giants. You see, the original occupants from the Bashan in the north all the way down were occupied by giants. It's the land of the giants. And the Amorites have overcome the giants and took over the land. So how powerful they were. But when it comes to facing the land, the people of Israel, they lost. Because God was with them, the Israelites. So that's why half this worship song they sang was about the great Amorites of the ancient past and the gods they worship. You see words like people of Chemosh. These are the previous occupants, the giants. The Amorites had overcome the giants. Now, because of God's presence, they could overcome the Amorites. So that's how this song is about. Then it quickly came into the phase three. All right, in our notes, we talk about land of the giants. And then under the last 3B, I've got here, then they move quickly. by the King's Highway up north to Bashan, and they were attacked by the Og, the giant. Og were a land of the giant. And God said this in Numbers 21, "Do not be afraid of him. I've handed him over to you." See, this word "I've handed him over to you" means that God fights for you to deliver them, meaning to say, sure win one. Every commander wants to be in this kind of situation. We call it sure win. In every battle, how do you know you're going to sure win? Because God says, "I'll hand them over to you on a platter." Because God fights for them. You see, when you worship God and walk with God, God fights for you. And you don't walk with God, you fight for yourself and you lose. Just like the story of Homer. Homer means destruction. Because the old generation was destroyed. Because God was not with him, with them. But now the new generation, God was with them. So Homer become a destruction for the enemy, not the people of God. So here in the final episode is the Bashanites. This is a very huge territory stretching all the way from the river Jabbok, all the way north, about 100 kilometers up to Mount Hermon. So huge territory in one swoop. God gave them the land on the east of the Jordan River in one swoop, because God says, "I have handed him over to you." So there will always be battles in life, but God, who listens to us if we walk with him in submission, you will have his blessing of handing things over to you. That's what it says here in three episodes. God gave them victory. So someone asks, what is there here about Jesus? All the symbols here are about Jesus. Okay, let me, for instance, they say they are tired of the food God gave. Angels' food called manna. But the Bible says they didn't understand. Remember when they were in this place, the first complaint, when they got discouraged by the long journey, they say, we loathe this worthless food, manna, because they didn't understand the purpose. Why did God want them to take this manna? The word of God later on explains that I gave you food called manna to teach you an important principle. What is a principle? The principle is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was the lesson Jesus reiterated in the Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Yes, sometimes we may feel hungry. Everything is all about food and food and food. But God says, no, there is a spiritual food that you need to learn. It's called manna, the bread of life. It speaks of Jesus. And you talk about the bronze serpent. It's a picture of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Today, all medical symbols uses a snake on a cross. Is that correct? Dr. Liu here? Oh, he's on call. Pray for him. It speaks of Jesus. That if we look by faith to Jesus who will hang on the cross, we will be healed. Not only are we saved, we can be healed. You see, the Word of God is also God's medical bottle. Those who read the Word regularly and meditate on it will get healed too. So, while the worship team is coming up, I just want you to consider three victories. Three victories, because They, first of all, listened to God, and God listened to them. They made a vow to do God's will. Second, they learned the lesson of discipline without complaining too much. That discipline is that they begin to realize the purpose and not just looking at the problems. And they were willing to learn the discipline. Thirdly, God, they had victory because God was with them. God delivered the enemies into their hands. So time in worshiping God is a time for victory. That famous song that was sung at the Olympics, in a moment in time. What is the moment? The moment in time is when we worship the Lord, then our destiny is determined by God. Old folks, I like you to dream dreams. Young people, can you begin to ask God for visions? What else can you do? Don't just warm the pews. Begin to ask God for visions, something that will bring glory to God. Can you make a change? Asking God for victory in your life based on what you have picked up today. I'd like you to be quiet for a moment before we speak, sing this song. And the Israelites vowed a vow to the Lord to finish off the work. And God delivered the enemy into their hands. Do you have any vows that you want to make to the Lord? Something the Lord had put in your heart. Something maybe impossible. There's a song called The Impossible Dream. Yes, God does the impossible when you dream His dreams. Can you tell God what you want to see happen with your life, with your family? Just one simple statement. Lord, if I don't have any dreams, I want to dream your dreams. Give me your dreams. Shall we all stand? Let's worship. Use this song to declare, worship the Lord. Shall we all stand? Christ alone. Just lift your hands to the Lord.
Place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every instead of me, as a song.
that there is no temptation that's taken us but such as is common to man. But you, Lord, are faithful, and you will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. But will with the temptation you open the way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. So, Lord, as we face the future, we know, Lord, that we need to be people who understand your purpose, that we'll never lose sight of our eternal inheritance, that we will not be asking why, what's the purpose? Because, Lord, you said in your holy word that you have designed each one of us with an assignment that you want us to finish, that, Lord, we will aspire to finish the work you have given to us. Lord, I pray for the older ones among us, that they will dream dreams, dream your dreams, Lord, and that our young people will have visions into the future. Holy Spirit, stimulate each one of us here to be able to look into the future, that will, because your future for each of us is great. And you said, Lord, your work is great. You don't do small things. You say your work is great, sort of those who delight in it. So, Father, I speak right now in each one of us a delight to worship, a delight to do your will, a delight to dream your dreams. And that, Lord, not a single one of us will just live from day to day just to pass the time. But, Lord, we want to achieve something bigger than what we have thus far been able to do. Lord, enlarge our vision. Lengthen the cords. Extend the curtains of our habitation, of our influence, of our sphere of influence. Lord, help every one of us to see our destiny rather than our problems. So, Lord, will you just enlarge our capacity to serve you, Lord, to worship you, to walk with you, to vow the vows that are important to you, to follow you all the way, Lord. And I speak right now of victory for those who are struggling with health issues, that, Lord, just as you have promised that you will heal us of our sickness, that this promise in Exodus 23 will follow through as we serve you, as we worship you. Lord, make this a reality in each one of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Just go to your small groups. Those who need prayer, just come.